Well, last week we considered the goals, the limits, and the possibilities of the Christian life, and the reasons for those goals and the possibilities was the glory and praise of God. We read the closing verses of 1 Corinthians 10 and the first verse of 11, which is, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." And we're left with a question. How high was your goal set last week in terms of following Christ? What were your personal expectations of all the possibilities of grace that are opened up to you if you're a Christian? How did it shape your prayers as you went into this week? You'll notice that these three sermons are thematic rather than exposition of text. So the reading from Philippians was almost random, because wherever you turn in the scriptures, we are faced with a monumental challenge, and that is personal sanctification. You could go to any of the New Testament letters and you'll find the challenge of what it means to be a Christian. Progress in these things with regard to your inner world will be known only to you and to the Lord. Progress in these things in your outer world, in the spheres of your influence, where you work, etc., may be seen by others, and if it has resulted in such good progress, then the glory goes to God, not to yourself. Jesus says in Matthew 5, "Let your light shine." He said, we are salt in the world, and that people seeing the good works that arise from being salt and light in the world would bring praise not to us, but to God. He said, let your light shine. The implication is this: let your light shine in such a way that men glorify our Father in heaven. Now, why should we be emphasizing these things at this time? Because there's a great deal of confusion in the world about what a Christian is, what constitutes being a Christian. The media take their belief of what constitutes to be a Christian from the denominational churches, by and large. Now, don't get me wrong, there are good evangelical churches in the Anglican denomination. We have some in our area. We've got Jesmond Parish Church, we've got George Curry at St. Stephen's, and there's Walker Gate Parish Church, which preach the gospel. But by and large, the media see Christians presented in probably what you see in songs of praise on a Sunday afternoon, or what they gather from the television comedy programs, which I haven't personally watched but have read about, Father Ted and Rev, which are almost blasphemous. But this is the presentation, you see, of the Christian. This is what's influenced the media. But the reality is that the Christian, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, makes a difference. It influences, it flavors. And this is the burden of the New Testament. Yes, it does result in men seeing the Christian church, the Christian involved in doing good works, and they are pleased with those good works, and they cannot but acknowledge that they are good works, but they hate the message that they are only good works because they are done through and for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are only good because they arise from being born again. The Christian acknowledges that, and there is no other way to make works good than to do them as a born-again Christian, because God sees no works that are good that are done outside of his word, outside of his revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this demands our constant attention. our constant attention to what Jesus taught. In Matthew 5, which we read last week, we read the Beatitudes, and we see there these familiar words opening up what it means in reality, what it means in daily practice to be a Christian. It means this, that we are to avoid anything that's contrary to the character described by Jesus, which is unlike the world, it's countercultural. But if we claim to be Christians today, then that's what lies before us. The whole discourse of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, I read it regularly, and it's up to you as a Christian whether you should do the same, but it's a description of what you are as a Christian. What does a Christian look like? It looks like Matthew 5 through 7. And that's the character Jesus is calling his disciples to have. To be unlike the world. And it's in the very small things. Politeness. Politeness. Not being rude. Not being inconsiderate. Careful how we answer folk. Watching our reactions, especially when we feel wronged, or the temptation to present ourselves as better than we are. The Lord wants his children to be of such a spirit that they do not take offence easily, particularly when facing insults, particularly when they might feel humiliated, and never to give offence. The Spirit call for is not one of suspending our feelings. It's above all that, as I hope we'll see shortly. Today, what I want us to think about is the daily cross and the denial of self. But first of all, before we come to that, I want us to look at some biblical imperatives as to why we should give ourselves to this. I think there are three principal things. And the first principal thing is this, the specific promise of God for us as Christians this side of heaven. I'm just going to quote 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says this, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will do it." So we've got a specific promise of God to complete that which is necessary for us to live in spirit and soul for him in a Christ-like way. So that's the first principal thing. We've got a specific promise of God. And there are other passages you could go to in Scripture. So remember that one, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Then there's the ability of God to do what he's promised. That's the next principal thing. And in Philippians 1, verse 6, which we read, it said, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." He is able to do it. In fact, at the end of the letter to the Philippians in chapter 4, 13, he said, Paul said this. This was his great statement. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So God has promised, God's able to do it. And then there's the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a reason. I'm just going to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19. He, he's talking of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. One real view of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, yes, by faith, this side of heaven, on earth, one real view of the glory of Christ here on earth, as described to us there just in Colossians, no matter how weak it appears to be, as long as it is real, is sufficient and above everything else to be desired, above all wisdom and knowledge, and the stimulus, the principle by which we will obey his command to take a daily cross and deny ourselves. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This person described to us here deserves the best of our meditations. We should be diligent in them. Our future blessedness is being where he is and seeing his glory. That's what he said in John 17. That was his prayer, that they may see my glory. So why not prepare for it now? But more than that, see how it is the greatest inspiration to fulfill his charge to be what he has called me to be. In him we see perfection. If you have opportunities today, sitting, reading, read the Song of Solomon, read chapter 5, look at how the Shulamite describes the beloved. I know it's poetry, but it's a picture of perfection. And she ends in chapter, he is altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely. Three principal things, but one in particular, the glory of Christ. Let these facts gird up your heart and mind. Let these facts challenge your life, the life to which you have been called in Jesus Christ. These facts, the underlying foundation enabling us to fulfill all the possibilities of grace and become imitators of Christ. If the wretched man Paul, that's how he described himself in Romans 7, could say to the church in Corinth, be imitators of me as I am of Christ, then it's possible for the wretched man in me and in you to follow, not in our own strength, but in the strength that comes from God, who is able to do it in us. He is able to do it. He will do it. But we have got to be consciously involved in the process. Actively involved in the process. Let's come to the text for the daily cross and the denial of self. Jesus in Luke chapter 9 verse 23 said, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I emphasize the all and the daily. We closed last week thinking about the possibilities of the life of the Christian. The possibilities for you and me, if we are Christians. Now, maybe a question mark for you whether you are a Christian or not. Before we go into the specific implications of this text for the Christian, this was a call that Jesus made to all. He said to all the people who were gathered there, if anyone would come after me. And it has implications for you and me today. It has implications for our outreach. It has implications for our evangelism. Because what followed is important. He said this, for whosoever would save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? The man who's trying to live a life without God is losing his life. Maybe you today, I don't know. The whole matter of your response to the call of Jesus Christ is a matter of life or death. Indeed, it's a matter not of just life or death, it's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. Eternal death. Not a cessation of consciousness, but a conscious separation from the living God for eternity. What an awful prospect to contemplate. But Jesus said that to all. And he says it today to all, whoever is listening. And you know, when the word is preached, when God's word is read, wherever it is read, something always happens. Because God's word never returns to him void. It never does not do something. It's living and active. It's living and active in you and me now. Now, maybe you are a professing Christian here today, and you are a person who has attached yourself to Christ as your Saviour. What's the first thing the person who has attached themselves to Christ as their Saviour to do? What's the first thing? Well, Jesus has told us, deny yourself. Deny yourself. If you have become a Christian, then the very first thing you must begin to do, the very first thing is to start saying no to the old self, to the demands of the old nature. New possibilities are now open to you as a Christian. For example, the possibility of not sinning. The possibility of not sinning in thought or word or deed. What did John say in his chapter 2 of his first letter? He said this, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. His starting point was that Christians do not instinctively sin. He then said, but if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But the principal thing about being a Christian is that our starting point is that we are not going to sin. Last week I asked the question, when you woke up on Monday morning, are you going to say this, today I'm going to be perfect? As Jesus calls us to perfection. Those inner emotions that you really find hard to get under control. Those things, small though they are, that draw out of you impatience and irritation. Can you know victory over those? A million and one things. And the Bible is saying to us, in the sanctifying process of God's will and purpose for us, if we give ourselves to that denial, yes, we can. Yes, we can. The possibilities of grace are now open to us and have opened up to us the opportunity for daily victory over things that dragged us down the day before. I am now attached to Christ, and all the resources of his grace are open to me to anticipate and prevent the things that so easily I slip into. I can, like the apostle, say, do all things. I have all I need in every circumstance through him who has strengthened me to win the victory. But I've got to be consciously aware of it. What are your personal expectations in the light of the possibility of grace? That's a question for us as individuals. What are your expectations? I find myself in some difficulties. I'm sure that's what you're saying. These things that I have stated, the possibilities of the Christian life, the call of Jesus Christ, these things cannot be denied. The perfection that is described cannot be denied because it's there in the Word of God. It hasn't been made up. They're clear as a pikestaff what we are meant to be as Christians. I have the desire. Well, so you should if you're a Christian and attached to Jesus Christ. But there are a million and one things are getting in the way. What is the difficulty? What is the difficulty for us? And the difficulty is this, self. It's self and self-denial. The first condition of this claim of the Lord Jesus Christ to this, the first condition of this life that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to is to deny ourselves. And if we accept that and we progress in that, we find the calm and humble spiritual deliverance that we so often long for. Not a suspension of our feelings. I said that earlier. We're not meant to suspend what we are, but what we are meant to do is to put the negativity of ourselves into the light of Christ and follow him, freeing ourselves from the old self. Now, as Christians, you see, I think if we've been Christians for a long time and we don't maybe meditate upon this call of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not maybe prominent in our thinking that he said, all those who would follow me, take up your cross daily. Then that's maybe why we find ourselves failing in some of this from time to time. We're not winning the victories over the things we know that are not Christ-like within our lives. Let us remember, we are Christians living with a tension. There's two things that are both true that seem to be at odds. On the one hand, we have the Lord and what he has achieved for us, full and free salvation. We are already described as being glorified. We're already described as being in the heavenly realms. It's always past tense. This justifying work of God in our lives is all complete. And we have trusted him and we trust his word. We've got that. And on the other hand, we have the matter of our own responsibility, supreme among them. Supreme among them, self-denial and the daily cross. As we have thought, the Lord is able to do what he has promised. Are we able to fulfill our responsibilities to what he has promised? The answer is a resounding yes. And as we go through this call, let us not get disheartened, but remember all the possibilities of grace. Jesus said, if any man wills, if any man desires to attach himself to me and follow my lead, then that person has a daily duty of bearing their cross. I suppose the implications for this are clear. If anyone is not willing to do this, they've attached themselves to Christ, but they're not willing to do this, then they ought not to be surprised that they are finding the Christian life disheartening, and they are finding the Christian life disappointing and difficult. Finding Jesus' yoke uneasy and his burden heavy and his commandments grievous, as Hanley Moll said, when we say we are attached to Christ, but we reject the daily cross and the denial of self. And that's what he comes to. So if any man wills, if you're willing to come to Christ, then he says, deny himself. The emphasis is very much on the himself. So this is a personal thing. What is self-denial? It should not be confused with self-control. Important though self-control is, it's not the same thing. Self-denial is on a higher plane than self-control. Self-control is indeed a fruit of the Spirit. The ability to be self-controlled is very important, but it's easier for someone who has mastered self-denial. Neither is self-denial to be confused with abstinence from certain things, certain foods, drinking, ordinary pleasures. These may or may not have a value, but abstinence in whatever form is not self-denial. Indeed, Paul in the letters to the Colossians said as much to those who were denying themselves in order to improve their spirituality. He said, this is no guard against the indulgence of the flesh. He said that in chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. No guard against the indulgence of the flesh. In other words, it's no guard against the indulgence of self. Abstinence. If it's not anything, so if it's not these things, if it's not self-control, and if it's not self-denial in terms of abstinence, what is it? Well, it's this. It's the replacement of self from the throne of your life. And it's putting someone else in charge. It's saying someone else now has control of my life. It is self-surrender. It means that whereas yesterday we wanted to please ourselves, we now want to please someone else. It's decisive. It is the principal step in lifelong sanctification. It's where it begins. If anyone comes after me, let him deny himself. I am no longer mine, but I am someone else's. That's what self-denial means. And then, having denied yourself, he then says, and take up his cross daily and follow me. So we ask the next question. What is the cross? Well, we often hear someone say they have a terrible cross to bear. It's quite a common expression, that, isn't it? We are familiar with it. And by that they mean this. They have some heavy burden. something in their life that seems to be insurmountable. Is that what the daily cross means? The burden you bear, whatever burden you bear today, is not the cross. That's not what Jesus meant by saying taking up your daily cross. What is the cross? The cross is this. It's your willingness to submit to your Heavenly Father's decision to give you that burden. That's the cross. Following Jesus, who is the pinnacle, the exemplar of what denial of self looks like. Garden of Gethsemane. In all of the horrors that were overwhelming him, in that moment of his depth of his humanity, Father, if it is possible, let this pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's the cross. It's submitting to the will of God in your life. Through his earthly life, our Lord Jesus Christ's sole purpose was to do what he had been commissioned to do by his Father and do it willingly. And here he's saying that this is our calling too. If we say we are following him, if we are saying we are attached to him, then we must take up our cross of self-denial and follow him. There is the challenge for your tomorrow, my tomorrow, and our tomorrow's tomorrows, and so on, going consciously daily. And I think this is a very important thing, you see. This wasn't a sort of one-off call. This wasn't justification, which is a one-off event that we're justified by faith and never to be, that never has to repeat, never has to recur. The sanctification thing is a daily thing. We have to wake up consciously, applying ourselves to what God has called us to be in all of the mundane routine of your daily life. If this is not just for big things. Jesus didn't just say, take up his cross daily and follow me, and that was just for these big events of your life. No, this is daily. This is just whatever your life is tomorrow. This is the life that God has called you to, the situation that God has put you in, with the circumstances he's given you, with whatever health or strength, whatever weaknesses, whatever illnesses, whatever is currently part of your life, God says, take your cross daily and follow me. In other words, willingly submit to this life that I have called you to these circumstances I've put you in, and be Christ-like. Watch out for the small things, unintentional rudeness, unnecessary impatience. Win the victories. Let me suggest to you this, that far from being a restriction on your life, this, because your self is fighting against this, self is pulling against this, far from being a restriction on your life, this truly entered into will be wonderfully liberating. This will be wonderfully freeing. Suddenly, no longer at the beck and call of self, but at the beck and call of your heavenly Saviour. Then the yoke becomes easy. Then the burden becomes light. Because you know where it's coming from and you know what its purpose is. It's to make you like him. And remember this. The heaviest end of the daily cross of submission to Christ's will lies on him. Amen.